everyone, and welcome to another episode of Escaping Moral Adventure. Mark and I are here today to chat with you about getting to know God. So back when we began this podcast, what, 6 months ago now?
Yeah.
Seems so long ago, but it also doesn't, you know? Yeah. So anyway, back when we started it, we based it on the idea of moral adventure, right? Which you got from one of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's books. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. And so moral adventure is essentially this being stuck in a place of inaction or indecision and making excuses for why we aren't moving forward or why we're not making a positive change or maybe why we're not making a decision that needs to be made. And so the way to escape that place of being stuck is through spontaneous obedience. And so that's knowing what you're obedient to and then making decisions based on that.
Yeah. So, and that's all of our topics have somehow related to these concepts of moral adventure or spontaneous obedience.
So you may be saying to yourself, well, I'm not obedient to anything. You know, I'm an adult. I can do what I want. And I don't really know how to put this gently, but you are obedient to something. And whether you realize it or not, or whether you want to admit it or not, I know that's kind of hard to think about and to say. But if you want more information on that, you can check out episode 5. We talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, actually, definitely check that out. If you're like, no, I'm not obedient to anything, check it out. Mm-hmm. I think you'll be surprised by this idea that you are actually obedient to something. You can either make a deliberate choice about how you want to be obedient, or you can kind of, just find your way in it, you know, meaning that you're trusting your feelings and your emotions to react. So yeah, that's a great episode to check out to understand this concept of being obedient. So knowing that you're obedient to something, you have to say, okay, well, if I'm going to choose to be obedient to something, how do I do that? And we had also another episode about finding your principles. And so these principles are things that you hold to be true. And when you hold those to be true, then you can test choices that are in front of you, decisions that need to be made, situations that are thrust upon you, you can test them in light of these principles, and that helps you act.
Right.
So that's another episode that we can link to as well about finding your principles.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, so as we've mentioned before, we're Christians, we're Jesus followers, so our obedience is to him. And all of the principles that you were just mentioning, Mark, for us, they come from the Bible. They're based on that. And so, you know, being Jesus followers, we take our cues from him. And because of that, and many other reasons, right, it is important for us and anybody else who would consider themselves a Christian, a Jesus follower, it's important for us to know about him, about Jesus, about God, and to know him.
Yeah, to know who he is.
Right.
I mean, just think about our own relationships. If you're going to engage with someone, don't you want to know them? Don't you think it's a good idea to sort of get to know who they are and what they're about and how they are? So, and by the way, when you get to know someone better, you get closer to them. And yeah, I mean, in our human relationships, that has this interesting thing that happens, right? We certainly get closer to them and we learn about all the great things about them. We learn about their flaws, but God doesn't have any flaws. So we just get to know the great things about God and totally strengthen our relationship with him. So yeah, important to get to know God.
Right. And it's important, like you were saying, because it's this personal relationship, right? Getting to know him allows us to have this personal relationship with him, which is what he desires for us. And it's actually a desire that's placed in our heart by him. And there's, you know, if you will, there's this hole, or God-shaped or God-sized hole in our hearts that can only be filled by a relationship with God. And we kind of see this in Ecclesiastes 3, 11, where it says, "Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end." So that piece in there that says he has planted eternity in the human heart is sort of speaking to that God-shaped hole in our heart where we actually all have this desire to know who he is. And oftentimes we try filling that with things that are less than, right? Mm. We may try filling that with, I'm kind of getting off on a tangent here, but, you know, food or some kind of recreation, right? Just, I don't know, playing a sport or something, or shopping or alcohol or drugs or, you know, the list, Netflix, the list goes on and on. So I'm going to link to a Got Questions article on that God-shaped hole as well, if you want more info on that.
But I mean, just think about it. Don't you think, what's sort of the universal thing that humans always question? Why am I here? What's the purpose of life, right? Even for those that aren't believers, they wrestle with these really big topics. So is it such a surprise that God planted this on our heart to wrestle with these topics and to desire him? Whether we know it or not, that's what we're desiring. So 100% agree. And it's so relatable to anyone. Again, believer or not, striving to know, why are we here? What are we here for? So he wants us to explore and get to know him.
Yeah, I like it. Okay. So that's why it's important, right? So let's talk about just maybe a couple ways. This is not an exhaustive list by any means, but we wanted to just kind of talk about a couple of ways to get to know God. And you're noticing probably that we're using God and Jesus interchangeably. Mark, you want to speak to that a bit?
Yeah, I mean, it's simply Jesus is God. We find that many places in Scripture. A great one that you actually wrote down about this that I'll actually just read is John 14:9. And it's Jesus speaking, and he's talking to Philip. He says, "Philip, I have been with you all this time, and still you do not know me? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father?" And he just kind of saying flat out, if you know me, you know God. Mm-hmm. If you've seen me, you've seen God. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we're going to use that interchangeably here, and we can go into a whole other topic about the Trinity and Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, but for another time.
Yeah.
Okay. So okay. Getting to know God, getting to know Jesus, a couple ways.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the first most obvious way is simply reading your Bible, getting in the Word and spending intentional time in that. And, you know, I said probably the most obvious way, but I think oftentimes it's one of the most challenging things to do is to have that self-discipline to actually sit down and read and take the time to do that. And I also think it can be even more challenging for people who are maybe more seasoned in their faith, because I don't know if I can really say I'm seasoned in my faith, but I know there are times even for me that it's like, well, I kind of already know stuff. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so why do I need to read that again? I've already read that once. And it's okay. It's a terrible way to think. I know that. And I've learned my lesson because, you know, reading things over and over again, they hit you differently because you're at a different season in your life, or the Lord chooses to use it differently in your life, or whatever the case may be. So just a little bit of encouragement there. Like, even if you think you know the Word, keep reading it.
Yeah. And actually, I have the same struggle that you just mentioned a lot. For example, I can't watch the same movie twice. I basically can't. I know a lot of people that they're like, oh, I like to watch that movie again and again. I have this thing where it's like, no, I need something new, different. I've already seen that. I don't, you know, can't watch that again. And so, yeah, I can relate to what you're saying. I've already read this. You know, I've read the Bible through, so I've already read it. But you're absolutely right. When you read the Bible, sit down, it reveals, and there's this interesting thing that keeps happening. It reveals, and it reveals God. Mm-hmm. It reveals who he is. And there's so many times I've read, even in the last several days and weeks, where I read something, I'm like, oh my gosh, that hit me so differently now, whether it's the season of life that I'm in or just what I'm going through in the circumstance of life.
Yeah. Right. It tells us, it's going to tell us all about God, Jesus, you know, and the character traits that they hold. So just more practically speaking, I guess, if you are looking for a Bible, let's say you don't even have a Bible and you want one, there's plenty of apps on that you can just download the Bible on your phone. But I personally like to have, you know, the hard copy in my hands and thumb through pages. So if you're looking for one, especially if you're new to all of this Bible stuff, I would recommend getting yourself a good study Bible. And the one that I'm familiar with and really love is the New Living Translation Life Application Study Bible. And the reason, so the New Living Translation is actually a thought for thought translation versus a word for word. But it is written in very, very understandable language. And even though it's not a word-for-word translation, it's still, it's translating the idea, right? The thought. So you're still getting the information, the correct, if you will, information. And then once you get your Bible, a good place to start is in the Gospel of John, because that tells us all about Jesus, his life and his ministry, and we can really learn a lot about his character and who he is in that gospel.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a quick tip, for you, if you're reading the Bible too, certainly just read the Bible, no matter what, just spend the time, read, and you don't have to read for hours, right? Just read, find some scriptures and read, like you mentioned earlier. Bible app's great. There's a verse of the day. Every day you can see a new verse. And then you can read the whole chapter right from there. There's reading plans. That's awesome. Get a Bible, like you said, which I think is a great idea too. One tip that you might want to try as well as you get further along or just starting out, get a little notepad with you. And when you read something, even if it's short, write down what you thought about what you just read. Like either something you learned, a question you have, maybe even like, I don't understand this, write it down and then keep a log of that. And yeah, when you go back, you can read those things. You go, oh, I remember feeling this way, or oh, I remember having that question. And now, you know, I've learned this. So something as a tip to do when you're reading.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay. Reading is a way to get to know God.
Reading the Bible specifically.
Reading the Bible. Okay.
So another way to get to know God is through prayer. Because so prayer is the way that we converse with the Lord. And if you think about relationships here on earth, right, our horizontal relationships, you know that talking with someone is a really good way to get to know them and for them to get to know you. And so it's no different in our vertical relationship with the Lord. We need to spend time talking with him. That might sound kind of funny because it's like, well, God knows everything about us anyway, which is true, but we know that he wants to hear from us. We know that he wants us to share those things, thoughts, feelings, all of that with him.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just try it yourself. What you'll find is taking the time to sit down and pray helps you formulate things. It helps you connect ideas too in your mind, like, what am I really struggling with, or how do I really feel about this? So going through that actually helps you have a real conversation with God, and that's what he wants to do. And oh, by the way, isn't it interesting that Jesus spent a lot of time praying while he was here on earth. And clearly Jesus knew God very well, but he spent a ton of time praying. In fact, sometimes he would pray all night. And so learning from Jesus, like we just said, learning from Jesus' life, we mentioned in our part about reading about Jesus, getting to know Jesus and his life was the best way to get to know God. Part of Jesus' life was prayer. So yes, I would concur that prayer is a great way to get to know God.
One thought I had here with prayer was that you can pray scripture, and praying scripture is always a good place to start, because you're praying the Lord's words back to him. But there are, so let me just share some of these with you and then I'll explain. So Psalm 119:33-34a, it says, "Teach me your decrees, O Lord, I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding and I will obey your instructions." So like right here, you're praying a prayer that like you're asking the Lord to teach you what he wants you to know, to give you understanding so that you can obey him, so that you can follow him and keep those commands. And then let's see, James 1:5 says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So, you know, praying that, asking for wisdom, you can ask for wisdom specifically for situations, obviously, but even in just getting to know him, right? So asking, "Lord, grant me wisdom that I might get to know you better, or understand your ways more accurately."
Yes, so praying scripture is a great way to do that. And the good news, though, is even if you're not praying scripture, you can still pray and still imitate how Jesus lived. Because as we said a second ago, Jesus spent a ton of time praying while he was on earth, and we can also pray. And even if we don't know what to pray, there's good news. And it's Romans 8:26, and it says this: "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." So in other words, the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, which we mentioned a second ago, so the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit intercedes for us when we're praying. So even if we feel like our words are a jumbled mess, which I know I do sometimes, we can be confident that our prayers are, they're translated so that they can be more effective. So don't feel like you have to be perfect in order to pray or know the perfect words to speak before you can start praying. So another way that we can pray.
So the last way we will cover as a way to get to know God is through service. So do you want to dive into that a little bit, Mark?
Yeah, I think service, when you hear service, I don't know, when you hear service, what do you think of?
Well, I think of community service.
Yeah.
As in something you would do, you know, maybe when you were a teenager and were disciplined for something.
Yeah. Yeah, if you didn't want to stay in trouble, you had to do.
Right, you'd have to go like clean up the park or pick up trash on the side of the road or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think in a church context, sometimes service we think of as maybe church projects, which is similar to what you're saying, maybe not because you're in trouble, but more so because you're part of a church. I think another common way people think of service would be, I'm going to go volunteer at an organization, right? Maybe like our friends, the Quinleys, on a mission trip. Maybe that's a way people think about service. And I do think all of those are service, right? You're sacrificing your own time to just help. Mm-hmm. Ideally, that's what you're doing, and not doing it for some personal gain, but that you're actually sacrificing your time to help others. I think that's service. There's one specific point, though, I want to make about service that you may not think about, which is service can be that you just intentionally interact with those that you bump into. And what I mean by that is you run into someone somewhere on the street, at the grocery store, and you say hi, or you say, How's your day, or how's your week been? And then really listening to their response, because you don't know what people are going through. And that taking that little bit of time to just engage with people, I think is so new. It's like a small like detail, because we have this tendency to just bump around. We're busy. We go here to there. We don't spend the time to interact. But when you can interact with somebody, you don't know where it leads. And actually, it can lead to a very deep conversation. It can lead to you standing in the road praying for someone that I know you have experience with, maybe you could say. It can lead to you inviting that person to a Bible study. It can lead to you helping this person move. It can lead to you whatever, right? And that small way where you can just interact with the people around you, I think is an important piece about service. And again, it reflects how Jesus lived. If you read the Gospels, you'll notice the way he interacted with people is so interesting. The one that comes to my mind first is the woman at the well, how he just decided to ask her for water, you know? And did he have to ask her for water? Did he have to engage in this conversation with her? No, but what did it lead to? It led to her life changing. It led to the entire town's life changing. So yeah, interacting with people around you. Don't think that you have to wait and schedule out service only, you know, 4 months away, which you can still do, by the way. But think about how you could maybe do service just by interacting with those people that you run into or bump into. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, just as you're talking about all that, I have tears in my eyes just thinking about, examples from others that have, you know, shared experiences with me or even in my own life in, you know, taking the time to actually, sorry, my voice is quivering.
I'm noticing your eyes are welling up a little.
Taking the time to actually interact with someone in a way other than just pleasantries. People are often, not always, I don't even know if I could say often. I think I could say often, surprised by that.
Yeah.
Because it is sort of a lost concept, I feel like, in our culture. We're busy, you know, I'll say that in quotes, busy, whatever that means. Trying to get on to the next thing. I'm going to say we're selfish, and I include myself in that, selfish with my time and my schedule and my to-dos, you know. I say my with like an eye roll. So when you do sacrifice your time and serve in that way just by choosing to engage with someone, it, like you're saying, Mark, it really can go a long way and make a huge difference.
Yeah, it can be so impactful. And just personally, this is something I struggle with immensely. And I often feel convicted of this, where I treat many of the people that I bump into so transactionally. Yeah, because I have an agenda. I have a mission. I have a plan. I'm doing this. I'm going here. I'm going to work, or I'm going to just get food at a restaurant, or I'm going to buy gas. And like, that's my task. My task isn't to notice that this person's maybe dejected, or to notice that that person is having a rough time, or to just say, how are you? And then letting that lead to invariably the next conversation. And yeah, so I'm sharing this, but I'm also pointing the finger at me, you know, like this is something I need to do.
Yeah.
So I think service can be an incredible way to get to know God. It's very much how Jesus lived his life, and we find it all through scripture too. So yeah, I think service is a great one.
Okay. Those are the only three we're going to cover. You know, like we said, the list is not exhaustive. I do want to leave everyone with another resource.
Maybe before you do, is it okay? I want to give some encouragement and also share a story. So that was pretty convicting. So here's the encouragement. The encouragement is, don't feel overwhelmed by these. Just try them. Prayer, reading the word, service. Don't feel like you've got to spend all day or hours and hours on these things. Start small. Give it 10 minutes. So right now, our daughter is in this program. I always forget the name. What is it called?
ISR.
ISR, which stands for?
Infant Swimming Resource.
Okay, so never done this before. Super skeptical. Their daughters are pretty young. And I wanted them to know how to swim. And Fallon, you told me, hey, there's this thing. I'm like, oh, okay, tell me about it. here's this. It's 10 minutes a day. And I'm like, 10 minutes? They can't even get in the water in 10 minutes. What are they going to learn in 10 minutes? That can't work, possibly. No, it's 10 minutes a day, 5 days a week, every day for 10 minutes. And I'm like, okay, I'm intrigued because this is so different than anything else I've ever seen. Any other swimming, anything, right? It's 45 minutes, 30 minutes minimum, seems like. But I'm intrigued. This is interesting. But how much can they really learn? And then you see, like, you can watch videos, and you're like, this looks incredible. Like, does this really work? And then we go, and I got to go to some of these the first week, and it blew my mind what they were learning. And you said, I think, a few times, and I felt the same way, when you see them learn something, how to float or turn or swim, and you're like, they don't know how to do this. I've been, you know, there's no way these little girls can do this. And so, and you're just like, and it made me think, oh my gosh, pushing yourself for 10 minutes a day, but consistently, 5 days a week. And you could see this, the instructor pushes them just outside of their comfort zone, get them outside of that comfort zone. And then they learn. And it's, and I remember telling them, because I was like, okay, girls, I know you're excited because this is swimming in the water. It's going to be hard. It's going to be fun. It's going to be hard. So you're going to have to work hard and try hard. And they did. And they do try hard. I'm like, oh, wait a second. When we get to know God, we can do the same thing. So spend 10 minutes. Don't spend 10 hours. Spend 10 minutes. But push yourself outside of your comfort zone. If you're doing reading, read something. Ask yourself a critical question about it. Why did that happen? That was weird. Write it down. Like I said, when you're in prayer, go deep. What are you struggling with? Tell God what you're struggling with. Doesn't have to be perfect. Just be, go deep. Go inside, go deep. Find out what it is. Push you outside of where you're expecting to go. In service, you see someone. You're not a people person. You don't want to talk to that person. Push yourself outside a little bit. Ask that one more question that you don't want to ask. And let it go. So I just wanted to give that encouragement because it was so impactful to me that I got to see this with our daughter swimming. And I'm like, Mark, push yourself for 10 minutes a day.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And consistently. So that was the encouragement I wanted to give people.
Good. Okay. So the last resource that I will give you it's a book by Chip Ingram called The Real God. And so this is a book, and there's also a study book with it and a video series. So if you wanted to do this as a study, you could, or if you just wanted to read the book, you could do that as well. But it is a wonderful resource. It goes into depth on several different attributes of God. And I'm actually just finishing up the Bible study on that now, and it has been wow. I mean, I don't know, that word seems so inadequate in describing it, but it has just been such an eye-opener. And being able to just go deep into all these different attributes of the Lord, so I definitely have a better understanding of his character, and it has given me a grateful heart, or just a heart full of gratitude for just who he is, and that he wants a relationship with me, and what he did through his son Jesus dying on the cross. And yeah, it just makes me want to obey him more, if that makes sense, after I got to know who he is. A better understanding of that, it's like, oh my gosh, yeah. Like, I want to obey him. Because he's good, you know, he's sovereign, he's holy, he's wise, he's faithful, he's just, he's perfect.
No, great resource. Good. So we'll have all these in the description, all these things we just mentioned throughout the podcast today. And with that,
thanks for listening.
See you next time. Bye.